What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Well, that World Cup about to come to an end, Ralph.
It's been a good
about
one.
About to come to an end. You've enjoyed it?
Oh, man, this Corruption Cup has been the best shit I ever seen, man. You know how much money I made in the Corruption Cup? Corruption Cup has been killing, bruh. It's amazing.
I don't like seeing them African nations get their ass whooped like this against these European countries.
Personally, I like seeing certain countries go home early, like Germany. So, you know, I mean, it worked out. It was good. So far, it's been good.
Well, if you need somewhere to go, and JG, I know you was just over there in the Middle East, so this job opening might be for you.
What?
Now hiring. In spite of everything that's going on with the World Cup, apparently there are still job openings available. What the hell is going on in Qatar?
Qatar.
They need an anesthesia technician. They need an epidemiologist. And they need a psychologist.
What are they doing?
These are all available on Indeed. Now, look, any one of these jobs by themselves being available, I would not think anything of it. But when you see these three jobs all side by side, what the fuck is going on the other side of this World Cup? Again, an epidemiologist, a psychologist, and a special education technician.
COVID's still running wild over there.
They need the whole
shebanga bang.
Everything. Yo,
one person down. Yo. We got three openings.
They better be glad that the World Cup wasn't in China, because they'd have just locked everybody in the country. Is it too soon? Too soon for Chinese human rights abuse jokes?
My name is Roy.
This is my job fair. Gonna get a little creepy today.
What? I don't like
blessing
creepy.
The dead. As you're looking in your episode description, this episode is titled God Bless the Dead. And this is about occupations that involve people who are charged with telling the stories of those who have passed on. Gonna talk with a crime scene investigator to see what all that dead body shit is like and if that shit is really as sexy as they make it seem on CBS.
It is not.
Totally not. Not even a little bit.
I'm telling y'all right now, you know, when I die, don't you let niggas put all of my... Here you go, Jacqueline, again. Whenever I talk about my death, she don't want to hear that shit. It's life, JG. When I die, I need you to not let these niggas put up bullshit clips of me from the comedy club. See, these comedy clubs.
The suits, they're going to put all the suit Roy clips.
All the suit shots. All the suit shots, B.
Suit era.
Yeah, I'm saying. The extra big suit, too. Like, we have the Harvey suits, B. The Harvey suits.
Yeah.
And the unreleased prank calls.
you're right there where what I'm getting to, Rod. The fact that... Because here's what happens. At a lot of comedy clubs, they record the show for that night on a wide frame just for posterity, just to have. Mm-hmm. And then they store these tapes in a vault. And then when a comedian dies, They go rest in peace. And then they find the shittiest clip from a Thursday night from a joke that you never even put on TV because you didn't believe in it. And that's the clip they post online and go, Roy, we always love you. Jacqueline, I want you to report those accounts as spam.
Okay.
Yeah.
If okay. It ain't polished shit from Comedy Central, don't you let these shitty ass comedians post that bullshit.
Can you just call me before you die? I mean, just call because
only sneakers and jackets, Roy.
That's it. Let's go. Yeah, that's it. It should be slow. It should be slow as pans. It should be slow as pans of your Kip LeBrons. Just slow pans on the Kip LeBrons, bro. That's all it needs to be. Just slow pans.
But I'm serious, and I know you hate
that.
I know
you are.
But it is a high honor to be charged with trying to make sure that the dead are honored. And true. So, you know, there's other occupations we got to get to in later episodes when we revisit this subject. I'm talking about you, funeral home industry. You thieving motherfuckers. Mm. I forgot about you. Mm. We're going to get one of y'all on the show.
I'm on record saying I ain't talking bad about the funeral directors. They scare me, bro. I'm good, man. Them cats get real serious real quick, bro. Can't do it. So, Roy, that's Roy talking shit to y'all for the record. When you come on, y'all let Roy talk shit to you. I don't fuck with people that own pig farms and crematoriums on me. Real talk. Can't
that
do it.
Funeral home shit. That's some real shit, man. Motherfuckers come in a funeral home and beat up the dead body. These gangs.
What? Yeah.
Oh, Jacqueline.
Who's done that?
Oh, Jacqueline.
Shooting bodies.
They have drive through wakes.
In caskets, right.
Yeah. What? You can't even come in a funeral home to pay your respects because the rival gang will come in there and re-murder you.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Drag the body back out. Drag the body into the street. Shoot the body up again. Yes, this happens. And then you know what happens?
What?
The funeral home charges you again.
Oh, my gosh.
Fucking body, you thieving motherfucker. Fuck us, you.
That is
plastic
awful.
Surgery. Like, we had to touch him up again. We got him.
Right.
We patched him up.
I don't know if funeral homes do that.
To patch him up again.
Right. I know you want to reattach our arm, right?
The show right
you want
now.
That arm back?
That's awful.
Yeah. It's a very dangerous job, funeral home director. But, you know, we'll talk to the CSI kid and see what that's like. Can you get the finger? Can you get the fingerprint with the super glue?
Mm.
You know, take this back to the lab. Process this.
Take it back to the lab.
You ever notice on TV whenever they take some shit back to the lab, them lab results come back quick as hell. Meanwhile, I'm waiting 4 days for a fucking COVID test.
Yeah. Yes.
That's the biggest lie perpetrated by those shows is that right? Mm-hmm. Database. That everybody has access to, that the first 4 days show niggas like, nah, that shit ain't real at all. But we got 2 days before this shit gone forever, and we got a drive to pick up fingerprints and shit. They can't even fax them all. Mm-hmm. We got to drive 8 counties away to get a nigga fingerprints.
And women do not wear those tight pants in the lab. Let's get that out there too.
Don't.
No,
they don't.
No.
Oh, damn. Oh, damn.
Can you imagine how many young men are just fleeced into that whole thing because they think women are in there with the body dresses on? Like, yeah, I'm totally going to be a forensic scientist. Look at the way she dressed. Men are slow.
That's a yeast infection waiting to happen. Stop that madness.
Okay. Well, you know what?
That's, some people like bread.
We can try and fix that. Wait, let me take this to the lab.
Why do I open this microphone? Oh, no. I'm sorry. It's my fault.
Let's start before we go down the wrong road. It's time now for
Cody's most outstanding employee of the week.
So we just had an election not too long ago, a little earlier here in McRib Awareness Month. And
that is not a real thing.
Shout out those Happy Feet, Happy Meals.
I just think that you're disrespecting my people. And I just don't understand why me and my fellow McRibbicans have to be subjected to this level of disrespect.
We in here. I got mine early this year because I was in Wyoming. They came back like 2 weeks early in Wyoming.
Get it.
They had a handwritten sign in that bitch. They said the McRib back. And then like 2 days later, there was an internet announcement that the McRib was hidden in 2 weeks.
Nice.
That's going to be a very small part of your museum. It's just going to say McRib and we're going to keep moving.
So, Initiative 82 in Washington, D.C. was a very contentious initiative.
I don't know.
Originally was struck down 2 years ago. But cooler heads have prevailed. People campaign the right way. You know, when the initiative was originally passed, city council was polluted and poisoned by corporate entities that forced them to rescind the law. But now voters spoke up, and in Washington, D.C., restaurant workers will receive a huge wage, which now outlaws sub-minimum wage for tipped workers. Instead, they'll get full minimum wage plus tips on top. Congratulations.
That's what's up.
To all the service industry folks out there in Washington, D.C. I'm sure our good friend Chef Rock from the Food Glorious Food episode is somewhere crying because he got to pay them up for the little bit more bread.
I looked at his website. And he pays $15 or more per person. That was automatically embedded with him already.
I knew he was a good
man. I was about to say, I remember on tape, he was on tape saying that he believed that you needed to pay people more for the jobs that they do. So he was actually all about this one here, bro. He was on point with that.
And he's sustainable. So all of the things in the restaurant, they can compost, recycle. Oh, I looked him up before somebody going to come talk to me about food. Wait a minute.
He was Googling him. He was Googling Chef Rock.
I was Googling because I need to know if he can cook for real.
Oh, so he can cook for you?
Oh, we got jokes. Shots fired. Jokes. I'm in.
I'm trying to decide whether or not we need to get her yacht to be a middleman to get you on over to D.C. You know, sample the goods. You was the one talking to him about deglazing and all this.
Since you told me I got to learn to be arrogant. Number one, I don't need a middleman. Let's start there.
Oh, why did you ever tell her she needed to learn to be arrogant? Seriously?
Number two, I'm not interested, chef. Let's just be clear about that.
We go.
That man said, yeah, this is the thing.
Here's my concern. Do you think once the general public knows that they're getting full minimum wage, will they tip less? Because you're incentivized to tip 25% and 30% because you know they ain't making nothing. You know they're going to put some fentanyl in your goddamn shrimp.
Wait, what?
Now, well, you know, you'd be rude to an employee. You know, they put them pubic hairs in your shit. So you got to be nice. A
couple drops of Visine in your water. You know.
Is Initiative 82 net positive or net negative for servers?
It's going to be net positive for the money they make. In general, but when it comes to tips, the tips are going to go down. It's going to be like Europe. So, like in Europe, they, you know, you don't tip because they pay restaurant workers a proper wage and you're encouraged to not tip. But for all the Americans listening right now, like it's considered rude in most European countries. And people will look at you very weird and call your ass out for trying to leave a tip. Like, you'll get embarrassed for that.
Really badly.
I'm not sure. I'm not, like, I'm excited and I'm happy for the workers, but I'm not initially going, oh, right, everything's perfect. It's like, okay, well, what's the...
I'm not going
to say... What's the ripple?
I can't say perfect.
And that's what
I'm trying
to say.
You can't say perfect. I mean... I don't know. I got a lot of homies that still make a living in D.C. as bartenders, as waiters. And, you know, these are the cats who is also doing things on the side that could have got them in a hell of a lot of trouble just so they can make the rent. So, you know, them, I feel like it's a hell of a kick up. And, you know, in the beginning, I kind of understand what Rod is saying, too, but I kind of feel like it's in the beginning so far, it's definitely a net positive, you know, say that these cats is making a little bit more money. You know what I mean? I think it's a
all
good
the
thing.
People who were against raising their wages and were talking about tips are the people who are going to stop tipping because now they're making $15 an hour. So they're going to feel like this is the trade-off. I tipped you because you weren't making money.
Yeah, but them niggas wasn't tipping anyway.
But that's the next movement in the opposite side of that struggle is the people saying, why should I tip now? You're making $15 an hour. That's what you wanted.
Yeah, I think you should tip. I'm going to continue to tip. I put it that way. Like,
I tip for a selfish reason. I tip well for a selfish reason. I tip 25 to 30% for a very selfish reason. I don't want people to think Black women don't tip. So I tip very well. Whether you bring the ketchup that I asked for, whether you bring that ketchup that I asked for, I'm still going to tip you 20 to 30%. Whether I'm in the kitchen looking for my own mustard, I'm going to tip you 20 to 35%.
See, you trying to bribe racists 30% of the time.
Right?
I can't take
it. I'm kind of like that to a degree. I'm like, hey man, here's $10. Please don't hate niggas. That's basically what you're saying.
Because sadly, some of the places that we all end up, we're the only people that they see. And I feel like I'm doing it for everybody sometimes. So I just have to tip well.
Well, nonetheless, for getting initiative 82 passed and getting yourself a little extra bread. And then what you need to start doing also, DC service, y'all need to just start lying and say that shit didn't pass. No, nobody knows. Don't tell nobody. For standing up for yourselves and getting yourself up to full wage, getting yourself up to minimum wage, which really still ain't shit in the bigger scheme of things. But stand tall, restaurant workers, and don't let these folks start fucking with your hours and making your section smaller and making your section bigger so you have to cover more ground and then give worse service. So I'm happy for you, but watch for the pendulum to swing the other way and just keep your eyes open. But in the interim, you all are all
Cody's most outstanding employee of the week.
Yes.
Brought to you by Queen Mother Fried Chicken, the best talking, the best fried chicken on earth, according to shit talking ass Chef Rock.
Okay.
That dude did talk a lot of shit about his chicken, bro.
I got to taste this.
The best goddamn chicken. I'll beat your ass in the face.
I'll beat your ass with a fucking neck bone. My chicken is so good.
All right. Worst and first time. Oh, I got to get, you know what, third? We got to give a salute to old Booker Hayat.
Yo, she's the stuff, bro. She's the bee's knees.
We gave Hayat a mission a couple months ago because, you know, some of these more unique careers that we have on this show, it takes a minute to book. You just can't get interesting people with interesting jobs to always say yes. And so we told old Hayat we wanted to do a death episode. We wanted to get somebody on for a crime scene investigation. And nonetheless, we had somebody that was willing to come on and talk to us about the world of crime scene investigation. And the more questions we had, the longer the document got. And I just think we need to settle in for this brother for as long as we can. Because we ain't had nobody on since Dead Body Sue from Mississippi. Who we didn't had on?
These are facts.
And about you don't the world of dead bodies. We don't get often on this show.
It's some kind of world.
But it's a lot of money in that world because people are. It's always inventory.
Oh,
people are dying.
I mean, I don't know about a whole lot of money. There's a whole lot of dying. Now, that's for sure.
Great. JG, who do we have on the phone?
You heard him already. It's Corey from North Carolina, and he's a crime scene investigator, one of the first people called to the scene of the crime, actually. And he'll be talking with you, Roy, about how he got into the field, the many aspects of the job, and also what can go wrong, what can go right, and advice for those looking to break into the field. Hello, Corey.
Hi, how's it going?
Yeah.
Now, I would imagine you really ain't there when the crime in progress. The crime has concluded.
Oh my gosh. My goal is to be as far away until the crime is concluded.
Okay. I don't even know where to go. Let's just start with your path into this world. You know, it is gory. It is visceral. I would imagine that you've had to create some sort of mental barriers to keep this shit from permeating into your psyche so you can still be a loving father and husband and all of that other normal people shit. Hmm. But when did you just look at this job and go, yeah, I can do that. What is that? Three people shot and killed? Yeah, I can come clean that up right quick.
Corey.
What happened over there? Hey, a little cocaine and motherfucking missing. Yeah, I can check for the clues.
Let's scoop that up.
Yeah, what's that? And
dog bit somebody in the pole. Oh. We got to see which way the dog went to find the people that the dog took. Yeah, I can do that. How do you get to that place? Because this ain't one of them jobs that get invited to career day. How many career days you've been? You've been invited to career day?
I actually do go into like all the local high schools and talk about the job.
But really?
It's for the forensic science class that they have there. So,
oh, that's dope.
You know.
That's all right, though.
But honestly, I've kind of gotten this. I wanted to do this in high school myself, which is kind of weird. But
I don't think it's that weird because
I do.
The one thing that Dead Body Sue told us that I really appreciated was that she has an opportunity as a medical examiner. She was a medical. Mm-hmm. She didn't do CSI. She's a medical examiner. Mm-hmm. She has an opportunity to tell the story of this person through medicine and through science and be able to connect the dots and hopefully answer questions for the living that she gets to speak for the dead.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, mine was, I always liked the forensic aspect. I actually I finished both my bachelor's and master's in forensic chemistry. So I was kind of on the, working in a drug chem lab or toxicology lab or something like that. Before my senior year of undergrad, I actually got the chance to intern with NCIS.
Really?
And that's what actually put me out. I got out in the field and got to see a lot. And that's when I was like, you know what? I actually kind of like this, being out in the field, being on scenes, being, you know, in some of the action. So I kind of went to grad school on the mindset of, I want to do CSI. I went to Penn State. So got a lot of experience there.
Way to fit that in, Corey. I like that. I like
gotta
that.
Gotta fit in, you know.
I'm not mad. Not mad. Represent, sir. Represent.
And I think it's important to denote with your occupation, you know, we're talking about a crime scene investigator. It's not just blood and gore. It's also break-ins, car accidents. It could be a missing person and abduction. Orders. You know, yeah, also murder and stuff like that. But, you know, we talk about everything that goes on with that job. You know, you have a job that's been portrayed on television for, I'd say, about 20 years now, if we go back to the original recipe.
Yep.
CSI Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. What does TV get right and wrong about that? Because it's a lot of get that to the lab gibberish on all them shows. Every show, get that to the lab. What do you got there? Take a picture of that. Put one of them little yellow numbers beside it.
I mean, they get that part right.
All right, take another picture. They got that right?
I mean, really, TV, I mean, I always talk when I go into like high school classes, and I'm saying, you know, yeah, TV shows you the murders. They show you the fun stuff. They show you the interesting stuff. But what they don't show you is that 75% of this job is working break-ins or working stolen, you know, recovered stolen vehicles or working the other, you know, stuff that's not going to be on CSI Miami at 8 o'clock on a Tuesday. Like, you're not going to see it because it's not always that interesting.
You mean you're not walking in the parties filled with coked out strippers naked on the floor who OD'd because they were partying too much with Bow Wow?
You know, like, I can't,
it doesn't happen.
Can't say I've ever seen that. No.
Damn it.
And in real life, do the women actually wear those skinny black pants?
The women wear the same thing I wear, BDUs and a t-shirt.
Okay. Thank you.
We're wearing pants and we wear stuff that can get dirty and, you know, bloody and brain matter and whatever else we're going to be dealing with that day.
Because on the movies and in the television shows, they have on wedge heels and the pants that hit at the point. And I'm like, this is crazy.
Perfectly tailored.
Yes.
You cannot do this job in no wedge heels. I can tell you that.
Thank you.
Because, you know, with what they do on television, clearly you have characters doing multiple things, I would assume, which is not the truth.
Correct.
Like, is the photographer also going back to the lab to develop the person that pulled the fingerprint also going back to the little fingerprint glass hut to put in the super glue fumes to pull the print? Like, what about that? Is that legit? Can you pull the fingerprints off all the shit, Corey?
Kind of. And so some places you're going to have people that are going to have all different jobs. When you go to a major city, you're going to have separate people that are doing all the separate jobs. Where I work, we're a little bit smaller. And so we do a little bit more. So we do some of our CSIs do also do all the latent fingerprint stuff. So they are the ones that are working crime scenes, lifting fingerprints, and then going back to the lab and actually analyzing the fingerprint to see if it's an identification on a person or if it's not. So really, you will see that, but you're never going to see the person that's doing all that also interrogating a suspect, also making an arrest, also doing whatever else. Those are usually where the separation is made.
You don't get to run people down?
No, I'm okay.
You don't get to run people down?
No, no, I'm good without that.
How did your relationship with the concept of death change once you started working this job? Mm. Just because in terms of your psyche, how does this job affect your psyche?
Oh,
to see all of that, you know,
it's absolutely.
We talked about burnout not too long ago. We talked about newsrooms. Like mm-hmm. you get stressed out in a newsroom reading about the bad things. Your job is to go and make sure that the criminals are brought to justice by collecting clues at the scene where the bad thing happened. How is that? How is your relationship with death, you know, changed over the years?
It's definitely gotten different. It's hard to describe. Like, death to me is just kind of like another, it's like part of everyday life.
Okay.
I was trying to actually explain this recently, and I kind of went like, and I had to realize that not everyone sees this every day. I was like, yeah, so most people see death once every couple of years mm-hmm. with someone like close to them. So they're really only involved in it once every couple of years, or in unfortunate circumstances, maybe a few more. For me, it's once every couple of days, once at, you know, 4 or 5 times a week.
That's scary, man. I did crime scene cleanup for all of a month. I couldn't take it. And it wasn't the death things for me. It was the hoarder thing. What's the worst one you've seen? Like, is the death stuff worse than the hoarding versus, like, I don't know, somebody who's got a dog pen that they ain't check? Like, what's the worst that you've seen so far?
Yeah, honestly, kind of going along with like the hoarder thing, people that are somewhat hoarders and then aren't found for a couple months.
Yes.
That's when it gets a little raunchy. I've seen some things. I've seen people that haven't been found for like 4 or 5 months, and by that point, it's not exactly pretty. And honestly, yeah. those are worse than the murders, because like the murders, it's like whatever. There's a little blood and maybe some brain matter, but when you need a snow shovel to pick somebody up because they've just oozed everywhere, that's honestly the worst stuff for me. Is
months and months and months.
That's just when I lived in LA and didn't have a fridge, came home one day and there were roaches everywhere. And when my landlord came running up to me, he was like, "Oh, by the way, you're getting a couple months free rent." I was like, "That's cool, but why are there roaches everywhere? I ain't got no damn fridge." Come find out the dude that lived in the apartment above me was dead and had been dead for almost 3 or 4 months.
Oh.
And people didn't know. And when they went and checked in on them, because, you know, everything had been compact and closed for 3 months, when they opened the door and the roaches spread out and all that kind of stuff, it literally impacted the entire place. And the smell was god awful. Like, it was unreal.
The sights are what they are, but the smell
it doesn't go away.
You can't get past that sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things that you'll be like, later that day, you'll be like sitting there and you're still kind of smelling it. And you're just like, what? Why is no?
I've heard that some detectives actually smoke because of the smell. Do you smoke or I'm talking about cigars or something that's pretty heavy to get that smell away?
No, I just.
Really, Gordon? Really?
Take it to the head. Give me that rigor mortis straight to the head.
Give me that straight.
There are people that use like Vicks Vapor Rub on their upper lip. But I found then you just
smelling salts.
Then you just smell Vicks and Decomp. So it's, I don't know.
But how much of this though, but and it's important to make this distinction here, because crime scene cleanup is its own thing and is noble. But your job, let's not forget this, you operate as an extension of law enforcement to find clues that help solve a crime or determine that a crime did not happen. After the break, I want to talk with you a little bit more about what it takes to do this job. And we need some advice from you, Corey, on people who want to get into the, do you like smelling dead bodies? Do you like coming home stinking like criminals, but you motherfucking help the police catch that motherfucker? And what, 75% of the time it will be break-ins. For CSI. It's the Job Fair. We'll be right back.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. LifeLock monitors and alerts you to identity threats you may miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become the victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve identity theft issues on your behalf. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Why wait for your tax refund in vain? Help protect your information immediately with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 25% your first year. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Identity theft protection starts here.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
Job Fair. Scam of the Week standing by with Corey, crime scene investigation analyst, and see if there's some scams going on with the money. I wonder if you can just steal stuff off people. You know what I'd have been tempted to do back in the day, JG, if I was in the crime scene, dead body? Go and hit that credit card one more time. Then I bribed the coroner to change the time of death till tomorrow and make it seem like he did that.
You know, they're very competitive. Those coroners are very competitive. When they hear that someone has died, they both show up with those long wagons. Like three of them showed up at a house one time.
Like, ain't you supposed to get dispatched from like the sheriff? Like, hey, we choose you, come get the body. How you pull up like the ice cream, like a food truck, compete with customers?
What kind of auntie do you have? Your auntie like a certain funeral home and they gonna call and say, my brother just died, get on over here. And your other auntie like a certain funeral home, boom, it's going down.
Alabama, wow.
And they get there fast, Roy. I've seen this. You've seen it. Never mind. They get there fast.
So what, they got a police scanner? Are they just listening for like dead
body
codes?
They're listening to the scanners too. Yeah. God, when I worked in television, I knew all the codes. So, yeah, dead body, natural calls. This is a code for that, too.
If you're a coroner, do you just pull up and, like, sit around the corner from shit where you think some shit goes? Like, the same way food trucks be stalking. Perfect example. When The Daily Show was in Atlanta, we had audience lines that were 3 hours long.
Wow.
By Tuesday, all of them Atlanta hustlers that pulled up with their hot dog carts, taco carts. And they food. Monday it was butt naked, but once they saw, oh, people gonna be standing here.
Oh yeah,
cool. So if you a coroner and you got your hearse, are you just out, just like, oh, it's a rap concert tonight? Oh, man, that's good eating.
I can't.
Oh, that's good eating.
Y'all boys is wild.
It's so wrong.
It was different down there. I know where most places you got to be dispatched by the people. There's a dispatch that dispatches the city coroner to places and shit. But I don't know. Y'all Alabama down there doing the Hunger Games with dead folks and coroners. It's wild, boy.
I've seen it in Georgia, too. The mistress called one coroner. Somebody else called another one. Mm.
We bring this man on the program every week. You've heard him early already. He is the uncredited inventor of the emotional support Kahlua. He's been known to walk around barefoot up there in Middle Tennessee and get his chakra straight with the earth. He's undefeated in pregnancy scares, a lifetime record of 43-0-2. And if you're looking for a Christmas gift, ladies, go stand outside and stand downwind and put a little peanut butter whiskey on your neck and he will appear and give you a gift. Mama named him Rado. We call him Rod for short. Rod, we talking about these dead bodies today.
What's happening?
How we can honor the dead. Oh, tell their nice story, like, you know.
Yeah.
You ever seen a dead body, Rod? You ever
been several.
That type of situation?
Several. What about y'all?
Wait, no, you can't say several. Yeah.
Right, what the hell is several?
I'm sorry.
Back up.
The what? Multiple? We're not talking funerals, right? We're just talking just a dead body out in the wild.
Yeah, no funerals, no hospitals. Yeah, I've seen a bunch of dead bodies.
Why?
At most, I've seen three, and I don't even like recanting those. How the fuck are you seeing several?
I'm from the hood.
Like, not like a relative in the house who's just passed.
Nah, I'm talking about niggas that been murdered.
So, like, freshly murdered bodies you've seen?
Yeah. I've seen a lot of dead bodies.
Why?
Because I'm from the hood.
I'm from the hood. I ain't seen that many dead bodies.
I was outside.
I go inside at night.
Or, you went outside. I was outside.
I just imagine Rod just seeing like a dead body, Jacqueline. Mm-hmm. And then just two fucking corners bending the corner like a fucking Fast and Furious. Drifting that bitch. And then hopping out, this you, bro? This you? Can I help you with it?
All the time I ever stayed around, you know, to see some shit like that is like when niggas get killed in public that really ain't had nothing to do with nothing I had going on. I didn't see that. I have seen coroners pull up like that.
We bring Rod on this program to give you topics, to give you coworkers that you hate a chance to shut the fuck up for a little while. Yeah. Wow, I'm with something amazing that you found out about the world. Rod, I turn it over to you, Mr. Dead Body Scene.
But listen, I want to touch on two things real quick. The first one is,
okay,
Roy he was talking about pulling credit cards off bodies.
Uh-huh.
And I just like that Roy's ran one credit card scam and almost went to prison for it, and he is still
diabolical about it.
He's still like, hey, you know what would be cool? You already did that. The first time you did it, you got caught. You can't do that no more.
Can't do that no more.
I gotta figure it out this time, Rod. This time is foolproof.
Like, wow. You know what would be cool, man? Like a credit card scam. Like, you already failed it,
man. Right.
In the analog era, too.
Didn't it sound like he had thought about it, Rod? Didn't it sound like he had thought about it, too, right? Like, it wasn't
right
like a freestyle. Like,
he got caught. He was like, man, if it was like 98, that'd be an easy scam. Yeah.
You could have at least got a tank of gas off that dead body.
But the second thing, you brought up Christmas in my intro, and a quick tip for the fellas, a great way to save money and get all your girls a gift at Christmas is buy things for your main girl, and then you give your side chicks the free with purchase of. You give them that shit. So,
well, wait a minute now. You might be on to something.
Little Christmas tip for you, fellas.
Wow.
You fall off in the mall, they're like, hey, you spend $50 and you get one of these for free. Then you spend $50 on your girl and you get a little cashmere scarf to the side chicks.
I have to give you that one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, JG, you're okay
with this?
I'm not a side anything, but I would tell you this. I'm agreeing with you when it comes to saving money. I hear you. I co-sign on that one.
Yeah, there you go. Buy your girlfriend the perfume set, then you give the side chick the little travel bag that they give you for free with it. Yeah.
Or go even bigger, break up the set. Give one the perfume, one the lotion, and one the bath thing, and put it in a pretty bag that you can vouch for.
That's disrespectful to your lady.
That's disrespectful. You breaking down gifts. You can't do that.
Between your girl and side chicks. That's disrespectful.
It's disrespectful. It's disrespectful to have a side chick. It's disrespectful to have a secondary, third, fourth, fifth woman. Yes, it is.
That's necessary.
Whatever, but I'm with you on saving money. I'll co-sign on saving money. How do I say this politely? I've worked for people who've had wives, girlfriends, and a couple of other things going on. I had to send gifts to everybody.
There you go. You know,
I broke them. That's why I know how to break this down.
You gotta keep having house on,
and remind them, hey, your wife likes roses. She likes daffodils. Before you walk out of here,
there you go, man.
Shouldn't be fucking with nobody that like daffodils.
Agreed.
Mistake number one.
Sometimes you right talk there. To a librarian, it'd be like that. Some people like chrysanthemums, gosh. You know? They don't want them.
Cat ladies love azaleas.
Let's break it down, Rod. Give these people some topics to bring up at the job, brother.
Well, these are very fascinating stories for both sets of people. Right off the bat, Oculus co-founder Palmer Luckey, who was fired from Facebook after they acquired the Oculus VR company, has continued to go off the deep end, and he has created a new VR headset that will kill you in real life if you die in the game.
That's right. The crazy shit, son.
We are into that fucking Ready Player One world now. This is some Tron shit.
It is time. Yeah,
that's Matrix.
Yeah.
If I die in the Matrix, do I die in real life? The body cannot live without the mind.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that is exactly what has happened. Right now, he says it's more an art installation than a working concept, but he has built a VR headset with tiny bombs inside attached to your head. And they will explode if the sensors pick up a certain frequency of red light flashing on the game over screen. And he says that this is the next evolution of people wanting to attach themselves to their avatars in reality and virtual reality. And now he played those games right with real life consequences.
He skipped right over orgasm sensor. He straight to murder.
Yeah. Right, straight up murder.
It's insane.
And it looks like the regular VR mask, but it has like three crazy ass prongs in the front, like a triceratops.
It's got these
and
bombs.
In each one of the horns, they have a bomb in there. Because when the dude designed this wild shit, initially he wanted a projectile, so like a nail or something in there. But he was like, he couldn't figure out how to get the nail to work. So I just put a bomb instead. Like, the nail apparently would misfire. So he's like, I just put an explosive, a small missile right in front of your face.
It's the shit. Now,
people are going to play this for money. It's inevitable.
It's going to be Demolition Man.
That's what it was inspired by, a Hunger game Games. Called Sword Art Online. Mm-hmm. It's an anime about these people who get forced to play this VR game. And if you die in the game, you die in real life.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Until there's a winner. And this is a
what's
wild
the Korean
concept.
Joint that was on Netflix where
Squid
everybody
game.
Got to live?
Squid Game.
Yeah, this is the Squid Game.
Squid Game. This is Running Man. This is all those movies from way back in the day where somebody puts you in something and you got to control them. Russell Crowe and Gamer, another one just like that where somebody controlled this dude and if you died in the game, they came and scooped you up and killed the controller as well. Like,
you know what this is going to turn into? It's just going to be something where they're just going to use death row inmates who've used all their appeals. And then let them do this as a way to maybe get their commuters. Like that movie, did y'all ever see Death Row Game Show in the 80s? It was like a bizarro horror comedy. Mm-hmm.
Trauma.
And Death Row Game Show was it was a show. Wait, here it is. Thank you, Rhonda.
Chuck is the host of a game show featuring death row convicts competing in life or death contests in hopes of cheating the executioner and winning prizes, including their freedom.
Oh. Including and their freedom.
The only move I've seen like that is John Ritter's Stay Tuned, where they were playing when they were in hell trying to get, when they were stuck in the TV shows in hell trying to get back to Earth.
Trying to get out. Hell of a call.
I remember in Death Row Game Show, there was a game that they played with this one motherfucker. And they put him in a chair butt naked.
No.
And then they put like an electrical cup over his dick. Uh-huh. Like it wasn't touching his body, but it was like an electrical cup over his dick. Uh-huh. And then they brought out a woman and made her take her top off. So if his dick got hard, he'd electrocute himself.
Wow.
What happened?
Wow.
He got electrocuted.
Of course he did.
He hadn't seen a woman in 19 years.
Right?
Hit it with the Dragon Quest Puff Puff.
Oh, real life. Real life deaf VR headset. What else we got for the people? This is terrible.
Well, that's terrible. Stormy Daniels is back in the news.
Damn, that's a transition.
Y'all remember porn star / stripper who became a stand-up comedian and embroiled in a lawsuit with President Donald Trump a few years back. Says that her 200-year-old New Orleans house that she recently moved into is 100% haunted. And it ruined her relationship.
Wow.
I could believe that. I believe in ghosts. I told y'all that ghost story one time. I can believe, like, when people talk about ghosts like that, I'm like, yeah. Yeah.
What's your ghost story? What happened to you?
I didn't tell you about the time I was trying to have sex with this lady and I kept getting Charlie horses and couldn't do it.
Why do these stories always start with ghost? That?
That was a ghost?
You tell ghost? The story.
I was
punching you in the back of the thighs.
Right?
I never told you this story.
I've never heard that.
Nah, I'm pretty clueless on this one, homie. Nah. So, I need to know about the ghost that was donkey punching you while you were trying to have sex, B.
So I'm on the way to Valdosta and I'm trying to get it, and I make a quick pit stop in Macon to holler at someone. And it's the middle of the day, you know, quick little day action.
Afternoon.
And I start trying to hit it and I get like a sharp Charlie horse. And I try to hit it again, like, hey, let's move this angle. And then I get another Charlie horse. And then as I'm like trying to get, I'm like, fine, just lay on your back. Let's do it this way. And then I distinctly, and I fucking know what I heard, and I heard her say, stop. So I stop. I go put my clothes on. And then she goes, can I ask you a question? If we wasn't going to have sex, why the fuck did you come over here and waste my time? And I go, you said stop. She go, I didn't say stop. I go, well, who the fuck said stop?
Oh, shit.
You got cock blocked by a ghost?
But at this point, it's like her kids are coming home in 10 minutes. I got to get the fuck out. The kids can't see. So I got to get out of the house, right? They're coming home from the school bus. It's been in the corner. In the hallway, there's a photograph of her kids, and this man. I go, well, who's that man? She goes, oh, yeah, that's my husband. He died 8 months ago. And I'm like, oh, well, that's who told me stop.
This cop behind the grave.
Yo, the husband was in there playing goalie on the box, B, fucking you up with the stick. Stop playing.
I've never before that and never since that ever had a Charlie horse in the act of foreplay.
That's my go-to move. I always fake a Charlie horse when the pussy whack. I just fake a crap.
I think that's a good place to stop. That's a good place to stop right there. The podcast is Uncle Rod's Story. Oh, just shaking her head in shame.
No, it's not shame. I'm just glad we stopped talking about Death Row.
You gotta go on that show with that dude, John, whatever the fuck, who like talks to the medium dude, who talks to the ghost for people.
Ooh.
You got to get him to have a sit down between you and this lady's deceased husband.
Yeah, nigga, it was me.
That is fucking hilarious.
How bored are you in the afterlife to be worried about who your woman fucking?
It was only 8 months.
Only 8 months?
He misses her.
Talking to you. You need to be talking to your ancestors.
Oh, one other thing. Nikki, a listener, she wants you to talk to the Ghost Brothers now that you've brought all of this up. She sent in an email, so I told you I would tell him, Nikki. So there it is.
That's a great television show. Black dudes investigating paranormal disturbances. Mm. Yeah.
They went to Clark Atlanta and everything, man. I mess with them dudes.
Take them back to the old girl house in Macon and see if they can meet
you. Oh, my God.
There you go.
That is perfect.
Let's get her on the show and ask her how many times that happened. That is fucking crazy.
Right. How many other dudes? I'm trying to contact the dead husband of a woman I tried to have sex with once.
We need her on the show and the Ghost Brothers to see if, like, you weren't the first or last nigga that happened to at her house.
Facts.
That was the real comedy, Rod, is that she hit me back like a week later. So we gonna run it back? I'm like, no. Your man has commitment issues.
He can't let go.
He can't let go. Oh, Patrick Swayze ass. Floating around and still chasing her. Mm-hmm. Get the fuck out of here, man. Mm-hmm. All right, Rod.
Bless up.
I can't believe I never told y'all the Charlie Horse ghost story.
That was a new one for me.
Man, you know what? We don't even have time to get back to Corey now. We got to take a break and then just come back to Corey to end the show and do scam. And we just got to roll that up in one burrito.
Sounds like a plan. It's just too much.
But what about singing happy birthday to you?
No, we're not even bringing up. No, yes. We're not going to do that. I just told you a story about a ghost cop blocking me while I was trying to have sex, Jacqueline. I'm not in the mood to hear my birthday. Job fair. We'll be right back.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Job fair, we still talking to Corey now. We're talking about crime scene investigation. And we've gotten into why you chose to do this, the ins and outs of the job. Now, before we talk to people about the skill sets that they need, if they want to pursue this as well, I think it's important to remember also that, you know, first off, how the fuck did you get a job in crime scene cleanup? Where was that job listed?
Good question.
So my best friend and I were watching videos about how to make money. And we saw a video about how much money there was in crime scene cleanup. We literally had a company for a flat out month, and it was a hoarder job. We went in and did a hoarder job for this woman that was all the way out in Leesburg, Virginia. And the smell alone, like we thought two or three people had died in the house. There were cats. There was all kind of other rodents. We didn't finish the house, in short, is what I'm trying to say. We walked away. We were gone. Mm.
Corey, is there ever a scenario where you walk up to something like that as a CSI? Is it your job just to go, well, wasn't no crime here. Good luck, clean up, motherfuckers. Or do you have to properly clear a scene and look at everything and then make the determination based on lab findings and clues and all of that, that there was no foul play, and then you move on to the next job?
Yeah, if we're called to a scene, we're pretty much working it through and through. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do get called to natural deaths that might have some suspicious aspect to it. Huh? We work, you know, all suicides, because if they might have some suspicious aspect to them, mm-hmm. potentially. Anything that's suspected to be drug related will work. So it's more than just, you know, even on the death side, it's more than just murders. And we work them all, you know, through, just in case, because you never know what could potentially pop up in the future. Even like bad assaults or stabbings or shootings that don't result in death, we're working them, you know, through, like, it could be potentially a murder, because eventually it could be.
Do you carry a weapon?
I do not. I am a complete civilian employee.
Really? So what if they circle back, Corey? There are those people. I don't know the name of it, but there are those people. I've seen this on TV. There are those people who enjoy the crime scene. They do. It's a name for them. And they're sometimes the person who did it.
I'm never on scene without a deputy or somebody there keeping security. And if they're not there, I'm not there. So when I get to a scene, my worry is about that physical crime scene. I don't care what people are saying. I don't care what people think happened. My job is to be there, look at the crime scene, look at what's there and what could be potentially evidence, what, you know, could be potentially related to this crime, what could not be related to this crime, what could point us in a direction. So, you know, while, you know, people are like, oh, so I saw this, so and so. Like, for me, I don't want to hear any of that. I don't want to know what people think happened. I want to be unbiased going into a crime scene.
That's
so good. I can look at it and say, all right, according to the physical evidence and the physical evidence only, this is what could have, or this is what could not have happened. And then the detective can come to me and go, hey, I have a witness that's saying this, or hey, we have a suspect that says this is what happened. And then I can be like, yeah, that actually lines up with what the physical evidence tells me. Or I can be like, no, 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 that doesn't make any sense compared to like this crime scene I'm looking at. So we're part of the puzzle. And then like where I work, we can do certain lab things. So, you know, we can assist in digital forensics or you know, fingerprints. And then past that, we know what needs to be sent for DNA or what needs to be sent for drug chemistry and stuff like that. So we help make these decisions. So it's really us with the detectives kind of working side by side to make sure it's getting looked at accurately and correctly.
Have you ever had to testify? And if so, how did that go?
I have. I've had a couple.
Really?
It's not as glorious as I like to look at. it's a lot of being asked the same questions over and over again and trying not to get frustrated that you're being asked the same questions over and over again.
I'm curious about what has pricked your heart. This has become procedural for you. You see a dead body every 2, 3, 4 days, but what has been that case or that scene that you showed up and you were like, man, this is a hard one?
For me, it's anything with kids. Even before I had kids, it was one of those things where it always kind of bothered me a little bit. I have one. It was the first suicide I ever worked, and it was a teenager. And like to this day, I can still go walk through that entire house and tell you everything about that scene. And it's just something that kind of sticks with you. And I feel like everyone that does this job has that case or those couple cases. But it's definitely, you know, you got to kind of find that mindset of, all right, I'm doing a job. And I'm here for a reason, and I'm here because I'm trying to, you know, provide some kind of closure or provide answers or something. But there's definitely cases that kind of get at you a little bit. It's hard not to when you're doing a job like this.
Yeah.
Wow. How is evidence tampered with or contaminated or compromised? Like, what are the different ways? What are the mistakes that could be honestly made by a CSI tech that could fuck up a prosecutor's case in a particular situation? Like, even if it's an honest mistake, like, what are the things that could go wrong from the time that you're at the crime scene and you go, get it to the lab, and then you put it in the box and then it goes to the evidence room and sits in that paper bag, like on every cop show. And then that's the bag that comes to the courtroom. So how can things be fucked up on your side that could then allow someone to walk free?
Really? I mean, it's kind of not an answer, but it is an answer. The biggest thing you could do is just not collect something or miss something. Because past that, you know, if, you know, you leave DNA and contaminate, I mean, if you contaminate, like if you're, I don't know, hawk up a loogie and spit it out on the evidence, then yeah. But like most of the DNA, you know, we're going to be contaminating with, you can send a elimination standard and it's going to be, it's going to be able to kind of worked around. And of course something's going to be thrown in and the defense attorney is going to use that against you. Really the biggest thing that could probably is a lapse in chain of custody. So chain of custody documents every single person who has that or where that item of evidence is at every single moment from the moment it's collected from till the moment it ends up in court. And really the biggest issues you see are there being some kind of gap in that or some kind of where it's suddenly with one person, then all of a sudden there's another person's name on it. And there's no how it got transferred to that person. That's where you kind of used to see. But anymore, all of our evidence, like when we send it to the lab, has like tags on it that get scanned. Some places even have, when you leave a room with a piece of item evidence, it automatically scans it. So the biggest thing, I guess, would be that. But past that, the way technology's come, it's so hard to mess that up. And we're trained so well that if you're messing something up, you've done something pretty wrong.
What does a promotion look like in this job? Like, do you just get to wear regular clothes and point to all the people in the lab suits? Like, have you? What's the chain of command? Like, because you're CSI now, which means you're there smelling all the hoarders. But do you eventually get to be head medical examiner? Like, where does this go, or where would you like for it to go, or do you just like being in the shit?
I mean, sometimes I like just being in the shit. But I mean, there is, that's one of the things about this job, is depending on where you work, there is nowhere to go but to like a crime scene supervisor that's still doing the same job just as a supervisor. What I like about where I work is since I've started, I've taken on some work as doing some digital forensics, so cell phone forensics, basically. So that's kind of how I've furthered along my career a little bit. It's not necessarily I'm going to be a big time supervisor, whatever. But I've kind of, you know, I've advanced my career, and we have pretty good opportunities to get compensated with, you know, additional pay as we get more stuff like that. So that's kind of how I look at advancing my career. You know, I'm still a crime scene investigator, but I'm just adding stuff to my repertoire.
For people that want to get into this line of work, what is the path that they should be looking at where they are? You know, are there particular courses they should focus on? Do they just show up to crime scene place with they snow shovel and go, I'm ready to scoop the goop?
Do they just binge like former seasons? Can they binge seasons and then just start working?
Can I watch CSI Miami and put my shades on and go, yeah,
I know.
There are lots of people that think they can watch CSI Miami and then do my job. The best way to get in this field is, pretty much anymore, the standard is a bachelor's degree in some kind of science, whether it's forensic science, chemistry, biology, something of that nature. pretty much anymore because it's a very popular field because of the whole CSI effect thing. You know, we're a fairly small agency and we're still getting 200 applicants for open positions.
Really?
That's crucial.
So the job market is honestly at this point very saturated. So I always tell people that I say, I want to get in this field. What do I do? Find something that makes you stand out. Everyone's going to have a bachelor's degree. Everyone's going to have, even there's going to be a lot of people with a master's degree. The best thing I can tell people to do is go get an internship. One, it gives you hands-on experience working with people who do the job. And the other thing is it makes sure that you can do this job, because there are people that think they're going to be a CSI until day two of being a CSI. And then they're no longer want to be a CSI because they can't handle a dead body.
It's too much.
Totally me. Couldn't handle this shit. You're right. Agreed.
I mean, it's definitely a field that we see a lot of turnover. One, we were talking a little bit before about burnout. People get burnt out after 2 or 3 years of nothing but death and crime. And I mean, it's go, 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 go sometimes. So definitely, you know, making sure it's something you can do, because you don't want to spend 4 years getting a degree or 6 years getting a master's and then show up and be like, oh yeah, I don't want to do this anymore.
What about the money, Corey? The money, is it worth it?
To me, it is.
Well, according to Down South Georgia Girl, the national average for a crime scene investigator, thank you, Booker Hayat, $56,000, around $27 to $28 an hour.
Okay.
I don't know if that's starting, but that's the national average.
That's not bad. Yeah.
Apparently, there's a couple of cities there. There's a couple of cities in this range here, JG. You make $102,000. You got to be doing two bodies a day.
I say, what you got to look at there is cost
of
living.
That's in Chicago.
Yeah. The money ain't bad. It's not something you're going to get rich off of. You're a public employee, you're a government employee. I mean, you're not.
That's true.
You're not
That's
going right. out and getting rich off the job. Eventually, if you want to get into the private sector of things, you might have a little more
private sector there.
Mm-hmm. But you know, working for a local or state or even federal government, you can make a living. It's a comfortable living. But
wait, you just opened another door. Private sector. Who's coming from the private sector?
Crime scene.
Yes.
You can't talk to him about that. That might get him killed.
No. I'm just. I don't understand.
Private sector, AG. That's the, you know, those are the people who call you in the middle of the night and be like, come here in an unmarked car and pick up this body, and we just gonna pay you in cash. Shut up.
I don't understand, Corey.
Most avocado farmers, Jacqueline.
Most of the private sector is like just consulting. There's a lot, especially on the digital side, like all like your bank, like your banks and your major companies. They all have
cyber.
Got it.
They all have people. Yes. So that's mainly what it is, and there's a lot more money than that.
Okay. I just thought somebody else was showing up to the crime scene with you and be like, this person was rich. So now we got to really look at this. Okay.
Well, we appreciate you for coming on the show and sharing this piece of your work.
Good stuff, sir.
Something extremely interesting. You are part of the reason why this is a podcast of the people. We don't deal with a lot of celebrities because folks like you are giving us a slice of your life. I will end with this last question.
Sure.
I want you to be honest. Your boss ain't listening to this podcast. When you see them dead bodies, you take the cash out their pocket. Get a little bit of that.
I'm just saying.
Corey. Come on, Corey.
See, that's why we do background checks on people in this job.
Good answer.
Oh, thank you for coming on the Job Fair, Corey. Appreciate you,
Thank
brother.
Y'all for having me.
That's the show. Roy's Job Fair is a product of iHeartMedia, South Park, and Princeton Productions. Jacqueline Fine, my birthday is coming up. I will allow you now to sing a couple of bars of Happy Birthday. The regular version, not the Stevie Wonder one that we don't have the rights to. Go. Exactly. Her mic just cut out just now doing that.
What just
For
happened?
For those of you listening.
What was that?
I didn't hang up in Jacqueline's face because that was horrible. The internet chose for me. The internet made the decision for us. And that is why I don't want my friend singing happy birthday to me. Because I'm trying to protect him. Try to protect your ass. It is the holidays. This is your last chance. Your last chance to be a part of Rod's Relationship Fair. The new one's coming up next week's episode. RoyceJobFair@gmail.com. If you got some fucked up sex that's going on at work. TJ Holmes, come on down. You are an inspiration, and you are someone that I've looked up to for years. But this show is about employment.
Trash.
And next week is about fucking on the job. So, wait, now, hang on. I'm not going to do a slander. Don't stop throwing in errant trashes.
All right. People who are... Who am I slandering? Because they did what? Tell me. Oh, okay.
Save it for next week, Jackal.
Okay. Clear.
We'll let Rod tell you why you're wrong.
Not at all.
Happy birthday.
That's the show.
Happy birthday, Roy.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.